the glory and the greatness of my God tonight. It is a joy to worship Him and to praise Him and to let others know just how I feel about Him. He's great in my soul. He's done so much for me. He's made me so happy to know our sins are washed away. Church, we have something to praise Him about. I tell you, there's a peace in my heart that money won't buy tonight. And that's why I love to take every opportunity to get up and say, God, You're good to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love Him with all my heart. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that our vocabulary could really express to you what all God has done for us and how good it is to serve Him, to live for Him. Oh, your pathway all isn't going to be roses, church, and you all know that. But aren't we blessed having His hand along to guide us over every rough path? Hallelujah! Oh, I tell you, that's just what Jesus has done for us. And I know it's been a few months now. We were here in the springtime, and I never thought I was going to get to come back again the same year and get to be blessed. The Lord has allowed us to come to this PSR meeting, and I'm telling you, I have rejoiced, I have cried, I have thanked God and thanked Him over and over for what I have received. You know, isn't it sweet? You can come to church and hear all these preachers left their places of labor, and we all got together and we sought hard after God for His will in the meetings. And as I looked around and saw these ministers giving of their abilities and blessings that God has blessed them with and the word that God's used them with and given it to us, and I got to thinking, my, what a table God has set down here for all of us to partake of. Every sermon I sat through, everyone, and everyone was a little different. Everybody has a little different way of putting it out. And I tell you, it's just wonderful to hear what God has prepared for us and to see how if you're veering off course a little bit, oh, it'll get you back on course if you listen to the Word. That's what it does for us. That's why we can't be saved without it. And church, you'll never grow too old to do without the Word. You've got to have it. I don't care how old you get, you still got to have teaching. You got to have preaching. Hallelujah. And you still got to feel this good old Spirit. I'm telling you, you can still, I don't care how old you get, you can still feel on fire for God. I see some of these white-haired old preachers and see how they jump around and still feel lively in the Spirit. And I say, oh, Lord, I never want to get stoved up or get where I don't even reach out and rejoice in the Lord. I don't care how old I get. I always want to love Him and praise Him. Lift my voice, hallelujah, because He's been so good to us. Hasn't He been good? Hallelujah. I want Brother Morton to know I really deeply appreciate the burden that God laid on him and the other brethren for having such a meeting, because it has done wonders for a lot of us. And I know it has for you too. We've all been so blessed. I tell you, I'm on my journey yet, and there's still a lot I've got to learn and a lot I've got to do. And I want to do it with all my heart. And I tell you, I appreciate the privilege of hearing the Word that will strengthen me and help me in time of my troubles. And I appreciate the troubles that have come our direction. We have faced a few since we've seen you last. But I tell you what, God never fails us. He's never failed us. And I appreciate what He has led us through, because it has strengthened me. And honestly, I have learned to see that the things that I go through, the things that I endure, is not only for my good, because it can be a testimony to somebody else and help and strengthen them too. So we don't live this by ourselves, church. There's people watching your life. And if nothing else, give it all you got in living for God, because you're helping somebody else. Not knowingly, you might not know somebody's eyes are on you. You don't know who's watching you real close. But somebody is. I've had that. Of course, I know, being a preacher's wife, you're kind of up front more than others. But do you know, I've had more people tell me how much they watched me and how much I've helped them. And I didn't know it at the time, but it made me feel so good to think that I was walking right. And listen, if you walk right too, you will be not a strength only to yourself, your family, but just think of other souls you're helping down the road. I tell you, it means a lot. We don't live this life to ourselves. None of us do. And I'm so grateful that God's given us a chance to live for Him. In spite of the devil, hallelujah, in spite of all he does, there is victory as you walk with God. Praise His wonderful name. He's given me a love for truth. He's given me a love for His Word. Hallelujah. And I don't care the sacrifices aren't too great when you love Him. I appreciate the walk with God that He has led us down. I love Him with all my heart. It's a joy serving the
Praise
Lord.
God.
Every day, every step of your life, every phase of your life can be beautiful. It can. Just from a little child, I have had a happy home life because God was there. Mother and Daddy were filled with God. They knew truth. They taught us those things. And as a teenager, I loved serving God. I know He helped me through a lot of rough, hard places. But that's what He promised to do. And I'm just a witness of His testimony of the grace of God tonight. Because it's been really wonderful. Because it works. Hallelujah. Oh, I appreciate my God tonight. And I love Him. And I have only one goal. And that's to give it all I got. And because it's coming in soon. Hallelujah. That's the joy of a Christian. If you thoroughly serve God with all your heart, you're bound to feel it. There's bound to be reaction. You'll feel it in your own life. Others won't feel it. Hallelujah. Oh, let's stand tall for Jesus. Let's live the life. Let's give it everything we got. Hallelujah. Jesus is surely coming soon. I'm looking for Him. Are you? God bless you.
Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh.
I was lost. My heart filled.
How many believe that we're nearing the shore?
Praise God.
We happen to be the last generation. We're living in the end time.
Yes.
Prophecies are being fulfilled by the carload.
Yes.
And anybody that ever wants to get to heaven, they better get ready now.
Yes.
We don't have time to play around.
Right.
The Lord said you're going to do a quick work. Well, you better get with it. Because I believe we have the program that will take us there.
Right.
I wanted to say I love you tonight. Appreciate the saints of the Most High God. Appreciate your noble shepherd, your pastor, Brother Vaughn Morton, a man whom I've admired for many years. Best of all, I want to welcome Jesus for being here. We couldn't have church without Him. It just don't work without Him.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to do anything in the church service to grieve Him. Hallelujah. Oh, God. While you're standing, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 6. Deuteronomy 24 and 6. Hallelujah. I like to hear the rustle of Bible pages in the house of God. Listen to it. No man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. God bless you. You may be seated. I marvel how God is interested in little things. He said in His law that if you found a bird sitting on a nest of eggs, don't you hurt that bird. You might take an egg to eat, but you don't hurt the bird. He mentioned that if you build a house, you put some battlements on it so when they climb up on the roof, nobody will fall off. God was interested in little things. He's a particular God. And here He's giving them some instructions on how to live. And He said, don't ever get in the place where you let anybody take your millstone from you. Neither the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. And so I'm going to take that text of Scripture and I want to preach to you a while tonight. And I want to use this for my subject. Operation Millstone. Back in the days of the Second World War, I remember they employed a lot of terminology and couched it in numbers of the alphabet, letters rather. It was Operation this or that, or D-Day, or Zero. But everyone knew what they were talking about, that is, the men in proper positions. And those who were under them, they caught the spirit of the thing, they all went out together and accomplished their mission. In the hour in which we find ourselves, we are on the threshold of the greatest thing that God had ever planned. That is, His return to this earth. I feel it in the air. I feel it in my heart. In my spirit, I witness this. I'm not trying just to say that somebody else has said it and I'm just echoing their words. I say this of my own. I mean, I'm walking tenderly before God. I'm checking up on everything about me. It is no time now to miss out. I'm going back and reading the rule book, the qualifications, lest somehow I would be disqualified for some reason whatsoever. I'm sorry to say that a lot of people are talking about the coming of Jesus Christ again. All you need to do is go on down to your Bible bookstore and you'll see all kinds of booklets and periodicals and massive volumes that people will try to sell, trying to say that their Lord is coming back again. Forgive me for being so cruel to speak of some people in their absence and they're not here to defend themselves, but they're not ready either.
Right.
They haven't obeyed this Bible yet.
Right.
And if we're going, we can't leave no stone unturned. Now, it takes a heap of doing to please God. He'll take you where He finds you. I was musing as I was seated there about the time. It was just this month. It was 46 years ago when I sat in a church. I didn't know what a church service, Pentecostal type, was like. I had no idea. All I knew was I went to church and I couldn't talk. The nun used to have a little thing on a stick. She'd hit you on the head, make you shut up. And I shut up. There was no worship. Didn't know how to worship. There was no demonstration, not in the church anyway. Of course, the crowd I run with, they had all kinds of demonstration when it was over. We had no victory marches, except maybe once a year they would put the Virgin Mary statue on a flatbed truck and pin $50 bills and $10 bills and $20 bills and go on a parade. And I jumped in the parade praying that the wind would blow those bills off. But that was all I knew about God. I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know anything about reality. And I marveled. And as I looked at the people, I said to myself, I couldn't be like this. How do you get to do this? I'm not worthy to be here. But they all were radiant and happy and singing, and I was all tense. They were so loose. But this is what God does. He takes you where He finds you. Don't you let the devil tell you that you can't be helped, or that God doesn't have something better for you. He'll take you any way you come. Troubles and all. Hallelujah. And so all that I know is that God deals with a man when he's young. And throughout the years, he keeps on dealing with him. It's just like corn grows. It's first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. He talks with you, to you throughout the years, softens, if he can, a portion of your heart, so that some word of truth might take lodgment there. Because God is interested in you as an individual. Don't think of God being so busy as he hangs out the moon and turns on the stars that he don't have time for little old you. You mean more to him than all the stars. Because you're an ever-living, never-dying soul. And you're made after the image of God. And yet there's something about you when you... when you begin to grow up and look at yourself, you see all this defilement. And my God will not settle and reside in an unclean vessel. He wants you to be clean on the inside. You can't make heaven your home without holiness in your heart and in your mind. And this is what church service is all about. So that we could tell you about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we can tell you how God can change a life all over again. You must have some fond feeling for a better land, or you wouldn't take the time to even come here. So just face up to the fact that you need help, neighbor. Let me talk to you as if I were the physician and you were the patient. You're sick. You have an incurable disease. You need help that only the master physician can heal. And you need the balm of Gilead to be rubbed upon your soul. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of things you need to dispense with in a hurry. They'll kill you if you hang on to them. Before your mind gets so warped, you won't know day from night or right from wrong. You need to say, my God, do something with this wretched life of mine. I know some of you tried to change your lifestyle. You can't do it by yourself. I mean, I'm talking about a big devil, the Bible said. People are taken captive of him at the devil's will. He'll make you do anything he wants you to do. You say, not me, I wasn't raised that way. I don't care how you were raised. You have in your body, in the warp and woof of your little old pitiful anatomy, you have all the seeds of every kind of sin that can be committed on this planet. It's there. All it needs to do is just spring forth into life and bring fruit. You can kill and lie and cheat. You can become lustful and vile and wicked. You can turn out to be a radical atheist. So not me, I was raised different. Don't you kid yourself, the devil is real. And with every foul piece of literature written, there's a spirit that goes with that. You quit reading all this mess out there in the world. Don't you study up on false doctrines to broaden your mind. There is a spirit that goes with that. And you can be deluded and blind. Hallelujah. But oh, I want to thank God there's a Holy Spirit in this world today. Separating us from the rest of the world. Washing our hearts white in the rich red blood of Calvary's Lamb. I'm talking about God getting the people ready to meet him. He's not going to leave us here to flounder on the world here and fall here in sin. But my God said he's calling the people out for his name's sake. He's interested in you belonging to that number. I happen to be one of the ministers of the bridal call. Hallelujah. I have the message of God saying, go ye out to meet him. Because he's coming back again. And I mean, it's no time to worry about anything else. When they blow this bugle, you better run out front because it'll all be over pretty soon. And I'm not planning on going there on the second or third or fourth trip. I've got to make the first trip because that's the only one going. Hallelujah. And I mean, if Grandma and Uncle Charlie's not ready, too bad, Charlie. Because we're going on anyhow. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it'll be quick. It'll be toot-toot and we're gone. Praise the Lord. But, you know,
Let me talk to you about millstones. When God deals with you, He starts with a child. Some way He's put thoughts in your mind throughout the years. There's been prayers prayed for you. Somebody cared. Nobody ever comes to a church like this unless the Holy Ghost was in them and they brought the Holy Ghost here, or somehow somebody else that had the Holy Ghost brought them here, or the Holy Ghost tugged at somebody's heart and drew them in. I was ministering down there in São Paulo, Brazil, and there was a lady, a young lady, I would say, apparently in the mid-20s, 28 or 9 or so. Of course, you can't tell. Sin has a way of aging you. She was blonde. She had on some pink and white striped slacks. She came in and her eyes were wide and wild. And when she came in there, she had been held captive in the spiritualist church for 4 months. She had that spirit on her. Her eyes had that glassy look. Well, you see, I don't believe in things like that. I know that our country is not like perhaps it is down in South America, but believe me, it's real down there. It's real down there. And here the lady came, and she escaped from those spiritualists. And she, you can be a Methodist, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Catholic church preacher and member, and yet at the same time you could be that too. They let that stay in their churches. I know the missionary there told me, and I wanted to pick up some, said, no, don't touch that. That is dedicated to spiritual worship of the mediums. And this lady came, and as she was walking by, escaping after 4 months of imprisonment, and there, here she was, it showed in her face when she came through the door, God spoke to her outside and said, go. Go into this little storefront church where I was preaching, and said, the men of God there can help you. And she came in there and stood there transfixed. Well, the humility of those people anyway. People, a couple dozen of them, 25 years of age perhaps, and on up to around 40, would take my hand and put it on their head and tell me, beg me to pray. They wanted God. They'd kneel down. They'd almost worship you. And they wanted prayer. Humble. They have nothing in life. And this woman came in there and stood there transfixed. And when you lay hands on them, they vomit out that evil spirit. Repeatedly do it. And this is the way the world is. The world is full of devilment, and they are full of false doctrine. They are trying to go to church and settle for empty husks. Wherever they go, there's nothing to feed them and make them fat. Their souls are shriveled and shredded, and they're hungry and not getting anything. But how blessed it is to be in a church that has reality. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And believe me, the devil's winning converts by the multiplied thousands. And we're catching one here and one there. That's not enough. Our time is running out of the hourglass. The sand is just about gone. Oh, God in heaven, help us. Because it's coming a reaping time pretty soon, and I want to make sure that we're ready to go. You say, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't understand this. This is the blessed part of this whole thing. God has help for you. Don't give up on yourself yet. Don't settle for nothing. God has something real for you. He's not done with you yet. God looks at you as He wants you to become. Yes. Praise the Lord. And then He lets that preacher feel about you as he feels about you. And gives him the love and the care and the compassion that it's going to take to make a child of God out of you. And I sat in that church in 39 and I said, I can't do this. I don't fit. And I've been a backward person about a lot of things. I wasn't that way as a sinner. But when I got around church, I had such a sense of
abasement, in which I did on my own, that I had a hard time pushing myself to do anything in the church. When God even called me to preach, I said, "You can't leave me. What can I do?" And God had to do it three times before I figured, well, maybe there's something to this. But all that I knew is I had such a sense of unworthiness. Well, we all have. But I didn't understand it there. And then I realized that those people perhaps weren't like that always either. For the Bible said we're called to be saints. You wasn't born a saint because you was born in a preacher's home or a saint's home. Or no. You were born like anybody else. But thank God there's a call that God has on our lives. Every preacher better make a saint. I mean, everyone in the orchestra needs to make a saint. Everyone in the pew, every teacher, every usher, any official position you have, that's nothing. You need to be a saint first. He's coming for the saints. God, make us saints. They're made, not born. Hallelujah. And they had this peculiar thing back in the olden days. And no matter where you went, anywhere in the land area in this world, Occident, Orient, North or South, black or white, Europe, Asia, are not only the thing over there, but right here in the Americas, the primitive peoples, they had these little ways of grinding corn and making meal, or grinding wheat and making it to flour. So they used to have this little hollowed-out bowl with its three or four little legs out there to make it stand. And then they had a pestle. They called it a mortar and a pestle. And they would put a little handful or two of your grain there and pulverize it until it was made like they wanted it to be. Made your corn pones and so on. Or tortillas or whatever they wanted to make. Or the wheat, they would grind it until it became a fine flour. And this had to be a coarse stone. And not only that, but then they had another one. They had what they called a rubbing stone. It looked like an old-fashioned rub board. And they would rub their grain there on that. But the one that I'm speaking of tonight is the millstone. It was a circular stone, about, most of them, around 18, 20 inches. Some 16, but let's say 18 inches. And it was circular. It was about 3 inches thick. Now, the one at the bottom was thicker than that and made of harder stone than the one at the top. The one at the top had a hole in the middle, and because it had to fit in this little shaft thing and go around, and then it had a this one at the top had a big hole into which you poured your grain, so much, a cup or two. And then on the end here, on the side, it had another hole that you had a stick in and a handle. And then the ladies, and most of the time it was the ladies that did the grinding. A lady is a representative here in our lesson tonight of the church. The Bible mentions that two women will be grinding at the mill. And the one shall be taken and the other one left. And so the Lord used these figures. And now the lady would take this little post here and turn it around over here and then swing it around again. But that called for much strain and effort. So the neighbors would team up when it was corn grinding time in the morning, getting ready for it all. And so she would have one sitting there, and she said, here, they would take the handle and turn it around and thrust it this far. And then the other lady took it and ground it around and turned it around to here. And all the time grinding corn.
two grinding at the mill. And this is the lesson here of the millstone. Now, they did not stop until they had a good supply of their corn already ground up, and like it was a mill thing they had. They called it the millstone. They had to do this daily. But the Bible says it was such a precious thing to have. If you ever got in a tight place, don't ever get yourself in a position where you have to go in hock or put up that millstone for security of what they're going to give you. Keep it. Your family is dependent on it day by day. Don't sell it. Don't loan it out. Keep it right there. It took a long time to make that in those primitive times. To beat on that and fashion that, think of all the effort and work and toil that went in there to get it like it was. And sometimes people aren't all that good managers, you know. And they'll take things like that and just put them up, loan them out, sell them, go in hock, and never be able to get it back again. Now, let me tell you what it is. The Bible mentions in the book of Isaiah, he talks about his threshing floor. Oh, he calls the church. He said, "Oh, my threshing." That's what he thought of the church in the wilderness. God has a lot of things to thresh out of our nature and our lives. He's interested in taking to heaven a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's not taking a bunch of backsliders and compromisers and truth rejectors and people that are full of the devil, but heaven's still a holy place filled with glory and with grace, and sin can never enter there. One of the greatest gifts he ever gave to this earth was not the sunshine or a lovely sunset, but more than your health, more than your talents or your worth or anything else, the greatest thing that ever happened to you as a man is to have a preacher in your life. You can't make it by yourself, can't work enough, give enough, do enough, be enough to get there. It takes a preacher to preach hell out of your heart and put heaven in your soul. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I came along after the first pioneers of early Pentecost had passing out. They were going out into nothingness. Their lives were all worn out. They were aged. I touched hands with a few of them that were there at the turn of the century revivals. And I listened to them. Some of them were mighty. Some of them were all mixed up. You'll find a lot of surface slush sometimes floating around, and it's not all gold that glitters, but there are some people that had reality. There always was problems in a church. There always was some backsliders. Always was some compromisers. Always was some truth rejectors. But that didn't stop the rich, real people. I mean, spiritually rich. They went on because they had a heart hunger and said, "God, whatever it takes." And I'd love to see, before Jesus comes back again, some people stay on that millstone. I'd love to see them be ground into what God wants them to be. If Jesus Christ said He was the bread of life, don't you realize that to become that bread, He had to be ground? And He didn't need that like we do. And yet He came holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And He subjected Himself to every rule of ordinance down here. He prayed when His disciples wouldn't help Him. Ministered all night and all day and prayed again the next night. What a strong man He must have been. For of all the things that we ministers do, there's nothing that pulls such strength out of you as praying for people. When you're done praying for 100 of them or 50 of them, you're ready to drop. But Jesus did it all day long. Oh, God. And He who was the light of the world said when He went away, "Now you're the light of the world." And He who was the Son of God said, "You're the Son of God now." And He who was the bread of life is saying to us, "We are the world's bread today." If they're going to see a Bible, it'll have to be us. If they're going to learn about God, they'll have to study us. What a responsibility hangs upon our shoulder. I put one of our young men in a church. We bought there, our church bought, another one 25 miles away, a little old building, in the middle of the Amish country. And put him in there, and he's running a solid 140 or so now. And let me tell you what they did. I said, "Sir, you were a Nazarene." I said, "I was fascinated about holiness doctrine. Oh, I studied it out. I studied everything they had on that subject." I said, "I'm fascinated about separation and holiness. Old time. Oh, those old time preachers used to preach sermons, and actually their sermon was holiness or hell. That's what they used to preach." I never will forget how shocked and surprised I was in Klamath Falls, Oregon, when I heard they had a church service there, and I went up and knelt at the place. It was called Apostolic Faith. I knelt down, but it happened to be that they believed in the Holy Ghost, but they had three definite works of grace. And one man came to me, and I was praying at the altar, and he said, "Son, are you sanctified?" I didn't know. I didn't know what that was. I said, I've got the Holy Ghost. He said, "I didn't ask you that. Are you sanctified?" He said, "When you get sanctified, you'll know it. Now, you did know you were, so you don't have it." Hallelujah. And I went away walking sideways. And, you know, there was something to that. We're trying to get people prayed through the Holy Ghost, and all you want is just to hear them say a few words that are unintelligible, not maybe of the language that you understand. And you say, they got it. Wait a minute. They better get something besides just tongues. You better make sure that you get a life that's been changed. And God has to put holiness in your mind and put it in your heart. You need to get your nature refined. Hallelujah. It's not difficult to be a Christian. If you're going to be one, let's go all the way, 100%. I mean, the black people used to sing a song years ago, 99.5% won't do. We've got to make 100. And if you're going on with God, it'll be just that way. Hallelujah. The millstone. Let me talk to you. Now really, there is something to do. This same stone, this millstone, can bring blessing or it can bring judgment. Because there is, if you hear what we preach, and you don't put it into operation in your life, already you're beginning to go back. You can't be a truth rejecter and make heaven your home. No possible way at all. We have down there in Louisiana, where I had a church. I resigned just really about a year ago. I am not an evangelist these days. I'm just a speaker, such as I have. I give unto you. That's all. I'm trying to hold up a few hands and arms and say, don't get weary in well-doing, because he's coming soon. Yes. I want to hear this message ringing clear in this last hour. I mean, you might as well clean up your act and get in this thing with all your heart. Yes. There's something Pentecost can lack. If they don't watch out, they'll find themselves a little shy on some requisites. Back in Louisiana, they have a little toad frog, small things. As a matter of fact, they have everything down there. Everything. I lived about a block from the bayou. I've seen that one time it rained 25 inches in 25 hours. We had water knee-high outside. Inside, too. Fish come up to the door. Moccasins swimming on the water. It'll get you spiritual in a hurry when you see one of them. They drop off the trees into your boat. Really, they do. And I mean, they've got the red-bellied kind and they got the cottonmouth. I don't know, if it was made out of paper mache, it'd scare me again anyhow. Just to see them. But that little frog, they had, the frogs would hang on the glass, the window panes, lizards everywhere. Chameleons would be around there. And now here they had this little frog thing. Every year it has a ritual. It's got to get rid of that old naughty looking skin. Looks warty all over it. It has to come, and it gets against something abrasive, and it rubs again and again. It rubs and rubs and keeps on doing all day, little by little, and pretty soon it gets a little purchase there and begins to help it broaden, begins to peel that old hide off, get rid of that old covering, that old skin, because it has a new one. It's got to shed that old skin, and it don't come off easy. So it has to get down until it rubs it off. I don't know what's happened to old-fashioned consecration, and I don't understand where old-time dedication and commitment has gone, but I will say this. If you expect to be in the bride and make heaven your home, you better do some rubbing and make sure that you keep a millstone in your heart and in your home. It is the preacher's job to rub you sometimes the wrong way. He has got to rub that old thing that's holding you down. You've got to get that old covering off of you. It defiles you. It's an embarrassment to the rest of us. And it's keeping you from becoming what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Oh, God only knows what you can become for Him. The soul winner you could be for Him. The child of God, the real spiritual instrument God needs. God only knows what would happen if you would get that old thing off of you. But our prayers are mechanical. I mean, we have a ritualistic bit. Don't blame it all and say, well, we're going by somebody else's denomination. We have their chants and their rituals. I was holding a revival in Richmond, California, in the Bay Area. And I came into the prayer room early, and there was this man, a little short man, fine-looking man. He must have been around 50, and I was just a... Maybe I was 30. I don't know if I was that old. I got down to the prayer room and I started to pray. And you know how we do sometimes. We just get around and holler at God. We don't have any real purpose. Just praying, feeling good. Oh, blessing is here. But this man began to pray. And he said he talked to God, and he talked about the heavens yonder and the plan in the mind of God. He talked about sending all down his... He made this world like it was. He hung out the moon and turned on the stars. And he come on down the line, and he had Noah and the ark, and he had Abraham and the call, leaving Ur of the Chaldees, and he had Moses and the people of Israel and all the wanderings and coming into the promised land, got us through killing giants and everything else, and come clear on down to the birth of Christ, took us over here into the day of Pentecost. And I'm telling you what, I rode the ways of Paul on ship and everything else, went to jail with Peter. And I mean, I thought, I stopped praying. I said, that's the best prayer I ever heard in my life. I'm in this prayer. I listened to that. Now, I preached a month there at Richmond. And this fellow came there and prayed that same prayer every night. He had it down pat. Until it became nothing but a ritual. But you know what? The brokenness has left our heart cry. The sincerity needs to be deepened. The shallowness is very much in evidence today. We find that we have these peculiar little weaknesses about some worldly thing, and when nobody's around, we kind of feel attracted to that. Let me tell you what. It's a danger sign when you can go around anything wicked or wrong or not accepted by our apostolic brethren. If you can get around something else and look at that and want it, you're in trouble. The greatest testimony you could ever have is let the devil parade all of his wares out there and look at it and say, I don't want nothing there. I mean, it don't even give me the come on sign. I don't feel like I want anything he's got to offer. I have so much more right here. Oh, God, send back old-fashioned, broken-hearted praying again. where people won't have to be primed and pushed and pulled and shoved and drugged. Oh, but they'll just come because they love Him. They love Him. They love Him. God, give us mothers that'll bow down by the bedside of that sleeping young boy or girl or teenager and say, God, I'm not letting them go. I'm claiming them for You, Jesus. Amen. I rebuke the powers that are trying to imprison them. The name of Jesus prevails. Hallelujah. God, give us saints that have some grit. Give us some people that have boldness, that know how to walk with God, know how to pray. You quit settling on dead, dry services when they come. Don't settle on that. Say, God, we're going to have reality or bust. Now, what is the grindstone for, this millstone? It's there to separate the husk from the kernel, from the pure part, the good part. And you have something about your nature, and it needs to be rubbed pretty hard. Don't let the devil tell you the preacher don't love you. He does love you. That's why he has to preach like he does. He wants to get that old husk off of you. You'll feel better after he gets there. Oh, the ring will happen. Will come into your testimony when you finally get that old thing out of the way. The joy will come to your face, and the spring to your step, and the prayer that will come in your heart when God gets done. Praise the Lord, taking that old thing off of you. Get it off! A preacher has to pulverize you sometimes. You say, I think he's trying to tear everything up. No, no! He's trying to get the world out of here. He's trying to get sin out of your soul. Put holiness in your heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I've got scripture I wanted to read. Where is my thought here? Oh, I don't know. The preacher needs to grind away, needs to pulverize you. That's his task. Can I tell you something? You as an individual need some work here, and you need your grindstone, and you need to take care of your own personal problems. Isn't that right? All right. All you young people need to realize there's something you can do in your life. Why would children resent the teaching and the concern of godly parents? We're here to perfect you. Don't get in a huff because they didn't like your hairdo or your desire for things worldly. Because don't you realize in a family when one goes wrong, they all suffer? And don't cause that noble mother and that father to have to bow their head because of you. But make sure that what you're doing is something that'll protect the family name. Well, I believe in families. I tell young people, want to get married, you better check the family out, because when you marry one, you married the whole family. You're going to live with them from now on, according to what I preach. I mean, we don't swap around, you know, and start at square one again. It's this or nothing. Hallelujah. And so here we find a lot of people are saying, this is a little bit too much for me. I want to do my own thing. Please don't think that you can do that and be in favor with God. Oh, every now and then God gives us a call where it seems like He brings us all to a place of conversion again. And we'll talk to Him and repent and get right. There's no feeling on earth like being right. Oh, my memory seems to... I can think of so many radiant faces I've looked at when people got the Holy Ghost or they prayed through. Every now and then I find that in my ministering to people, here comes a young lady or a young man that's fooled around, just sat on the edge of this thing, didn't want to get out in the world, and yet didn't want to go too deep in church. And oh, then all of a sudden, preaching did something to their lives. If it can be done, it'll have to be done by the preaching. God's got to get a hold of your heart. Hallelujah. And I've seen them in one night put it all together. Come up and hug your neck and say, you won't have to worry about me anymore. I'm going over the top. How many want to go over the top here? You'll either go over the top or you're going down the bottom. Hallelujah. Now don't just peddle your millstone. I was preaching up in Washington in those days, in the 40s, 47 it was. And I was preaching, I forget the preacher's name, Carl Adams. I had a man come to me, and he said he was the superintendent of the Nazarene Church for all the Western District. He said, "The young man, he said, I need a preacher. Would you consider taking a church I have? It's vacant. We'll give you a parsonage to live in. It has 500 people. I mean, now $250 a week was a lot of money in those days. I was preaching for 30 and 40. Praise the Lord. And he said, what did you do? I went in the prayer room and repented. Say, God, if I don't sound any more like an apostolic preacher than this, I want you to save me again. Well, that's right. And so I went over there and said, God, I want you to help me preach like a Pentecostal preacher. If they think I'll fit in there, they're all wrong. Because you brought me out of that a long time ago. I'd rather preach for the little old warty churches here that had 25 in them, but they had the truth. Yeah. Hallelujah. You ever hear of idle grindstones? A lot of people aren't even grinding because they haven't got anything to grind. This church, salvation and spiritual betterment depends upon your preacher having something to grind. That's right. I remember we come down from Sequoias one time on a ride, and we went by Brother Jimmy Davis' church there when he was at 9th and Lowell here. And as we came around, the church had already started, and the pastor was lining out the whole place that night, and his brother walked out the door. Say, he's doing it again. Well, that's all right. Somebody better be doing it. Your salvation depends on the preacher having an open mouth. Hallelujah. And well, I consider what people say. When a man of God gets up to preach, I consider what the saints say when they're testifying. I consider what my wife says when she's testifying. I want God to know that I'm interested in pleasing Him. And I want to be ground into powder if I have to be. The Bible said about this millstone, if you'll fall on it, you'll be broken. But if it ever falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. God have mercy. All right. Let me say this. There is a danger of surrendering your millstone. A preacher needs to be able to preach on this side. When he draws his sword and preach here and here and here and here and way out there. I mean, he's not going to preach here, 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 here and here. There's somebody there. No, I can't. Well, I've kind of compromised with him a little bit. I can't hack on that side. Your safety depends on a preacher that has an open mouth and a heart that's touched by God of sin. And put on the robe of righteousness. They were obedient, trustworthy, careful, and prayerful. I recommend them. They were good saints. Don't you want your shepherd to talk to God about you just like that? Oh, I would. I really, really, really would. But there's some people will take their millstone and pledge it. I had some people come to me one time in a certain state. He said, Brother Ballester, we want to promote you. How do you like this church? I said, no, I'm really not interested in the church. Just evangelizing. Oh, but they said, look, we'll help you. They had their camp meeting and they only gave everybody one night. They gave me three. Morning, afternoon, night. And I wasn't worthy. I was just a kid preacher a bunch. They said, now look, if you will stay in the middle of the road, and don't ever preach anything controversial, we'll push you. What'd you say? What'd you do? I got more radical than I ever was. That's the truth. I have nothing to lose. Praise the Lord. I got more right here. Matter of fact, I got wild. There's nothing wrong with that. I threw things. Crawled over seats. I believe in that sometimes. And so I just made up my mind. I refuse to be in a place where I've so compromised my position I can't get up and preach anymore. Oh, God, don't let your preacher get muffled where the devil will clamp his mouth. He needs to have a grindstone turning near every service. And you better thank God he's grinding at your heart in your life. Satan came to Jesus after 40 days of prayer. And he said, now, Jesus, he said, you're weary from fasting. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. If you will kneel down right here, there's nobody around, just you and me. And if you'll kneel down and worship me, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the keys. I've got the keys here. And of this, what is it? I got them right. I got them from Adam. He sold out to me. And I gave him the fruit. And he had to give me the keys. I've got the title deed to this whole thing. If you want it back, nobody's looking. You kneel down and worship me. Jesus said, Satan, you get behind me. You get behind me. Yeah. Hallelujah. What was the devil trying to do? So I'm giving you a shortcut. You can just miss Calvary. Oh, but he didn't understand. Jesus didn't come here to live. He came here to die. Yeah. Oh, he's got the keys anyway now. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, he has. He's got the keys to death and hell. He gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. And that's why we're so thrilled when we repented of our sins. And I mean, they didn't know what to do. Peter put the key in the door and said, let's give it a try. And the next thing you know, they were baptized in Jesus' name after being repented. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you have not received this Holy Ghost baptism of speaking with other tongues and been baptized in Jesus' name, you're still not through yet. God's got to grind some of that old terminology out of you and some of that funny doctrine off you and get you back to the Bible. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so he was saying, Jesus, the devil said to Jesus, give me your grindstone, your millstone. Ah, no. I don't want to compromise anything. Shame on the idiotic preachers. Pray for me. I feel a little wild here tonight. Shame on idiotic preachers that actually would let everything they had going good, let it go, trying to get 10,000 members and just get out and compromise and say we're all going to the same place. They are, but it's not up. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Oh, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Saints, you need to make sure you never pledge your millstone. I listened to what the brethren had to preach here. I learned a lot the other day. I listened to my brethren. And I know that it's just not my mind alone, but there's safety in a multitude of counselors. When I see that my brethren have some convictions, which maybe I won't have right at that time, I'm going to consider what they're talking about. Because I want to find out what the Spirit's saying to the church. Our churches are going somewhere. Praise the Lord. And I want them to be true and strong and right and real. Because it might be the night your loved one comes to church. What if there's nothing here? God have mercy on the pitiful so-called churches or excuses for churches around our nation that are so spiritually flabby, there's nothing right or real there. Nothing at all. Honest. And they don't have anything, no worship, no prayer. And people have no testimony. But as soon as the service is over, they'll mix and mingle and laugh and hee-haw and carry on. They're very glib about everything then. But they can't, around spiritual things, they're all bound up. I mean, you ought to have some reality here. You ought to have some richness here. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Every generation has something to discover for itself. Truth, holiness, righteousness, but we need separation as never before. Give us a ministry here that will preach to us continually, separate yourself from the world and touch not the unclean thing. God said He'd be your Father and you'll be His sons and His daughters. Hallelujah. I'm sick, so tired of people telling me about the batting averages or the passing ability of some quarterback. I don't know one quarterback from another. All that I know is, bless God, Jesus is my champion. That's right. I've got Bible heroes I get excited about. And I tell you what, I'm standing on the threshold of the greatest drama of the ages. One of these days, He's going to come riding on a horse, neighbor. Coming on a white horse. And I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be with Him. You say, can you ride a horse? I rode one to death one time. But I'm not much of a horse rider. I won't have to worry about any more ability. I'll have it all the minute I see Him. That's right. And I'm going to do this. And I want to tell you, whatever it takes, don't ever put yourself in a position where you've so compromised your testimony, your home. Oh, God, sanctify our eyes. Touch our minds. You better line up. Walk right. Throw all those filthy love story books out. Get rid of all that worldly trash. Get your mind off of sin. Keep your eyes on the prize. Television is going to blind people where they won't see right. That's the truth. Listen to all that goofy music they've got going on in the world today. It'll program your mind where you can't even hear from God. It's time you shook yourself. You need deliverance. Sinner, God's not done with you yet. God bless you, sinner man or woman. God wants you at an altar where you get down here and get an experience that's real. You've been cheated too long. You've listened to the devil too much. You thought you'd find it out here at the seashore, but it said it's not in me. You thought it'd be there at the saloon or the bar, but it's not there either. You have looked at your cheap movie programs and walked away dissatisfied. Spent your money for that which is not bread. You've mixed and mingled with all the pleasures of this world. Why so much laughter and pleasure? They're trying to forget God. But oh, blessed be the day when you listened a little bit and come to the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what an experience. What an experience is waiting for you at an altar. I have seen people get up from the altar with radiant faces, glowing with the Spirit of God. Never will forget preaching for Paul Jordan that night. I mean, there was a little girl came and sweetly knelt down and spoke in tongues. And then she sang in tongues. And she sang 17 different songs in tongues, each one with a different language. I was amazed. I sat there and said, God, You're unbelievable. I mean, all beautiful, perfect diction, whatever language it was. There's a big old boy there, hardly had any hair, 230, 40, 50 pounds. He's down there praying. Wasn't getting anywhere. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I come by and laid hands on him. Come on, sir. Come on, young man. Let's go through. Come on. Get in. Yes, sir. Now he went ahead and kept praying. And I walked up and down the altar and laid hands on a few more people. And when I went by, he reached out and grabbed me by the cuff. He said, Preacher, pray for me. I said, well, yes, okay. I kneeled down about 5 minutes, prayed with him, laid hands on him, shook him a little bit, encouraged him, got up, walked around, prayed for somebody else. I come back again, and he grabbed me by the trousers again. And I don't know, you see in the back of his head when I was coming. And he grabbed me and said, pray for me. I said, all right. And I prayed another 3 or 4 minutes for him and got up and walked by, up and down the aisle, praying for somebody else, encouraging somebody, listening to that woman sing her songs. And suddenly, he reached out again and grabbed me as I went by. He said, Preacher, pray for me. I said, pray for yourself. Your trouble is you've got too much on your mind. Shut your mind to everything here and get right with God. Get right with God. Hallelujah. pretty soon I left him alone, and he prayed and prayed. And next thing you know, I went by, he was speaking in tongues. He was talking another tongue. I mean, you're letting it roll out. I mean, I listened to all that, and I sat way up on the altar, and I just laughed. Swung my leg. I said, "Isn't this fun?"
Yeah.
I mean, who has fun like we have fun? This is our kind of fun. You say, "What do you get to do when you go to church?" Oh, we get happy. You ought to see it sometime. And I have fun. You say you're too old to have fun. Watch me. Praise the Lord. I don't think I need any help getting down from here. But I was watching them. I was watching them all pray. And this boy talked in tongues for one flat hour. And then I sat down here swinging my leg. I said, "How you feeling now, son?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "You know what? You don't know." "Well," I said, "don't you feel better?" "Oh, I guess." "Well," I said, "did you get the Holy Ghost?" "No." I said, "You talked in tongues an hour and you say you don't have the Holy Ghost?" "I said, no." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "I haven't sung those 17 songs yet." I don't know what kind of experience God's going to give you, but He's going to give you one that will just fit you. And you're going to hate yourself that you wasted all these years and you didn't come to an altar before now and get this. Money can't buy this. This is better than anything else on earth. Aren't you sick and tired of it all? There's things about your life that you'd like to change. This is what the grindstone is for. And God will help you get over that and above that and never be bothered with it anymore. He'll get your head on straight. You'll think right. And they'll have a brand new daddy in your home and a brand new mother. Brand new son or daughter. Oh, there'll be one family that's going to be so happy when Jesus comes in. Oh, God, do that now. Shall we all stand? Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Oh, God. I want some young people down at this altar. I want some moms and dads down at this altar. You'll never be what you want to be until you get on this wheel. And the sad thing is, Elder, some of we older people have been around trying to roll this thing around. I was thrilled to sit here in your services the past week. And I wondered, God, what is this next generation getting? But when I saw these men of God, so noble, so strong, and it had that Jerusalem ring about it. Oh, God. Oh, I'm glad that there's still a group of people coming with the message. And you know how they got that way? It took dedicated preachers to instill that in their warp and woof of their soul. Oh, God. Thank God. There will be a church!
Yeah.
Overcoming church. And so, I thank God for that. Mother, father, son or daughter, whoever you are, you need some help. May I say this? You're around the best people on earth when you come to the house of God. We care about you. Now, you won't find it out there in the psychiatrist's office. Pleasure haunts of sin won't satisfy. There's always that emptiness, that aching on the inside. Try Jesus. You'll hate yourself that you didn't come before. You'll hate yourself for wasting precious years. Would you just slip out of the seat right now and come and kneel right here and say, "I want this Holy Ghost. I want to be saved. I need help." Would you do it? Anyone, anywhere? You don't have enough? You started out, you say, "Well, I love God." Well, I'll take that as for what it's worth. I believe you do. But you still need to be saved. You need the Bible salvation. Would you slip out of the seat and say, I'm going to seek God. I want to get on that millstone. Hallelujah. I'll not only let the preacher preach to me, but I'm going to work on myself. How about it, young person? How about it, mother, father?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, I have spoken all I could tonight. I've done my best. And I pray that you'll bless the altar call as our pastor comes now. And we want them to know whatever deficiency they might have, that you're bigger than the problem. And I want you, Lord, to put hearts back together. Those homes, Lord, that need your special immediate attention right now. Oh, God, walk in there and settle it all with one Holy Ghost blessing. Oh, God, take the harshness and hardness out of our hearts and nature. The pickiness out of people. The worldliness out of their mind. Give us clear thinking saints of God, hungry for truth, worshiping and praying God, and ready for the resurrection, ready for the rapture in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and pray right now. Oh.